Is there anything too difficult for God? Is there anything that's impossible for the Creator of all things to do when He chooses? While there may be things that are too difficult for us to believe, or things that are too inconceivable for us to expect, these things merely define our limitations and have nothing to do with God Himself. Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This broadcast is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week, Pastor Jim concludes a message on the power of God to do the impossible, and the call that's on us to trust Him while He does. So sit back, and let's join Pastor Jim.
And so they did like what we do too often. Well, God can't do that. God isn't going to do that. He can't, He won't, whatever. Of course, we don't say He won't. We say He can do anything, He just doesn't want this. That's what we say. But what we really mean is He can't do it. I'm too old for that. That's how this comes out. That's how it plays out in our lives. We forget that God can do anything God wants to with anyone He wants to. There are so many things that we look around us and we can see where God moved in a place where it looked impossible for God to move. You know, I use this all the time, but this church still going is nothing short of the hand of God. Period. You know, for a church this size to continue to stay open and to serve God in the ministries, it usually would have to have some people of lots of means, lots of money. I'm not saying that everybody here is a pauper, but we aren't high society. We aren't. We're just average people. And I would say that the incomes of those in this church range from low average to high average. And yet, in that, God has been faithful to bring us along. In your lives, you've seen things happen. You have seen things happen that shouldn't have. People said, this can't happen. And it did. It did. Why? Because God can do anything. But yet we forget that so often. Where is our faith, brothers and sisters? Where is our faith? Why is it that we forget what God can do? Or do we just think that God won't want to, so we have to? You know, if God doesn't want something, why do we? I'll tell you why. I knew you thought I would, right? Because we are sinful and want our own way. We want our own way, whether God wants it or not. It's amazing how many people I have met angry with God because they didn't get something they wanted. Instead of saying God's will be done, they're angry because they wanted this so bad. That's the kind of praying I believe that Zechariah and Elizabeth had done and then gave up. We're too old. Who ever heard of someone having a child at this age? Well, we talked about that last week. The scriptures are full of them, aren't they? So he announces that you'll call his name John. And then he says, and you will have joy and gladness. And many will rejoice at his birth. Why? Gabriel tells him why. For he will be great before the Lord. He will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him. Who's him that he's going to go before? It's Jesus, right? He's going to go before Jesus to prepare the way. So verse 17 again. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. You know, John, and we'll see that here in the weeks and months to come as we see his ministry, but John was such a different character. Remember his diet? You learned that in Sunday school, right? John's diet was bugs. That was part of what he ate. That's how he survived. That's how he grew. And his tailor made suits of camel hair, right? So he was a strange character. This was not the way people looked, dressed, and ate in his time, it was different. But yet, when we get there, the scripture is going to tell us that all the people, not meaning every last person, meaning all that God called out, but a large number of people, came to the river where he was baptizing, including those religious leaders. They came to where he was baptizing because he had the power like Elijah. And when John spoke, people paid attention to it. Even kings, right? It might have cost him his head because the queen didn't like it. But even kings listened to him. What was John's message? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Friends, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. It is closer than it has ever been. Just as a side note, young man this week visited with me about the fact that Christ has called him to be saved. And he told me that he was reading in Joshua 24. And so I put that in as our call to worship verse. And then when I was folding the bulletins for the first time, I looked at the front, and there it was again on the front of the bulletins. I was like, huh, I think that's an important verse, don't you? Choose ye this day. You see, John the Baptist was one that people listened to. And he was telling them, he was calling them out in the name of God. Calling them to repent. Because the people in John the Baptist's days, Jesus' days, they were just like you and I. They were sinful and full of themselves. And he was calling them out. When he called people out, those that God softened the hearts to heard the call. But there were others whose hearts were hardened to it, and they rejected it. But that's who John the Baptist, that's who John is going to become. And this power of Elijah will be on him. And he will be turning the children of Israel back to God. But they're just as fickle as we are. And it doesn't last long. You know, I remember after 9-1-1, the churches filled up across this country. And they filled up right here in Northeast Kansas. You turn on the news on TV, and there was all sorts of things on even CNN about God. And then pretty soon, the fear of the situation wore off. The churches slowly started going back to their numbers. And they kind of like that Johnny Cash song, they started picking up a little steam, and pretty soon they were back down to where they began, if not lower. Pretty soon, we were back to, you can't say that about God on TV. You can't praise God on news. We were back to that pretty fast. Because that's how we remember. We forget. They forgot that John was there to call out the ones in truth. And brothers and sisters, today, there are those who are being called out in truth. And there are those who hear it and reject it because their heart has not been regenerated. They do not know Christ. And there's nothing they can do to receive it until Christ has moved on them. And when he does, it brings great joy. And the rejoicing that comes in the birth of John the Baptist that Gabriel is talking about is also the rejoicing not only of them having a child, that one who was barren, but also it is in the fact that the people would be turned to God by his service, by his preparing the way for him, it says in verse 17. Him, Jesus Christ, preparing the way for the Lord, making ready a people prepared for the Lord. Think about who first followed Jesus Christ. Who were his first disciples? It was John and Andrew, right? And John and Andrew first followed him because he had come to where John was baptizing. When I say John, I'm talking about John, the brother of James, just to make sure I'm not getting confused with John the Baptist. But he had come to where John was baptizing, and John recognized that he was the one. And these two men who had been prepared by the Lord through John followed after him. And then pretty soon those two went and got their brothers And then it began to expand. A people prepared. Well, brothers and sisters, that's what I hope and pray God uses the sermons that come from this church to do, is to prepare you for the Lord. Not only to come to Him, but to follow Him. Now, Zechariah was a priest. And not only was he a priest, he was one that we look back at the beginning of this with verse 6, who walked blamelessly, who was righteous, who walked blamelessly in the commandments and statutes of the Lord in verse 6. So we look back at him and we see this is who he is. Do you understand that as we grow and mature in Christ, the responsibility and expectation on us grows? Are you aware of that? I mean, Paul tells us about those who aspire to be a teacher. He says you better be careful, right? Because you're going to fall under what? A greater judgment. There's a greater responsibility. And as a priest who is advanced in age, who is an old man, there's an expectation of a certain amount of understanding of who God is. So he asked this question, and Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." We already talked about this a little bit. What he said was, "Gabriel, I'm not sure how you got in here, but God can't do this." That's what was being said there. He was saying, "I'm too old, my wife's too old, you can't do this. God can't do this." That's really what he was saying. You know, we wonder why does Gabriel institute from God a punishment to Zechariah for saying that? And then when Mary says, "Well, how can these things be?" He tells Mary, he says, "With God." At first he says Elizabeth is pregnant, and with God, anything is possible. Mary did not get the same kind of rebuke that Zechariah gets here. And it's the same way. If I have a child who does something that he shouldn't do, I'll correct that child. But if I have a grown man come and do the exact foolish thing that a child has just done, I'm probably going to be a little harder on the grown man than I was on the child. Because the grown man should be smart enough to know not to do some foolish things. Zechariah should have known that God could do anything, because he was familiar with the scriptures. He had read more than once how Sarah, in her old age, gave birth to Isaac. He had read it. But like us, we get so wrapped up in our ability, and then the people around us are reinforcing it to us. Yeah. If there would have been a crowd in there, they'd have been joining him. Yeah, you're too old, she's too old, she can't have a baby, it'd kill her. She's past the ability to, in today's science, get pregnant. The crowd would have agreed. But it's because the crowds don't know Jesus Christ. It is only those who are His that know His ability. It's only those who are His who know that God can do anything. So Zechariah has overcome his fear of Gabriel and is asking him or challenging him on how he could possibly, this could happen. Verse 19 says, "And the angel answered him, 'I am Gabriel.'" Not only am I Gabriel, but I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you good news. Or in other words, he's saying, you should know that as an angel, the only thing I'm going to do is what God sends me to do. I come straight from the presence of God here to you, to bring you this good news. You should know. Verse 20, "And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." Now listen here, folks. We are not talking about a pagan man. We are talking about a man that the scripture said was righteous and walked blameless. And his faith at this moment was weak. Because we all turn to what we can do and not what God can do. If you have ever experienced how God moves in a situation that everybody says is impossible, You know what I'm talking about. But the problem is even if you have lived through that, even if you have seen that, we turn around and forget it for the next situation. We need to remember, because as we mature, more is expected. We have a greater responsibility, and that is in the glory of God. But you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. He's muted. How long is he muted? 9 months. It's a familiar number of months, isn't it? For 9 months, he's muted. Now, I can't speak for the priest of that day, but I can't imagine very many preachers I know being muted for 9 months. I think of Dwayne Miller and his story, Out of Silence. And at least he had those, what they call false chords, to squeak out some noise. Zechariah was completely muted. Now, while all this is going on in the temple, we kind of set up for this earlier, the people outside are waiting for him. Verse 21, and the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. They were wondering, is he dead? What's happening in there? Why has he not come back out yet? This is unusual. It had their attention. MacArthur points out that this was probably taking place during the evening sacrifices. Because it wasn't that the priests were wondering and waiting. It says the people. If we go back to him being in there, we saw that there was a multitude of people. They were in that court of the Jews. And they were waiting. Where is he? So finally, he comes out in verse 22. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. It does not say that he was giving them sign language. Okay? He was making signs. This is like charades. When you're trying to express something to somebody without saying words, this is what he was doing. He was trying to tell them what had taken place in there without the use of a voice. He's trying to tell them why he was delayed, but he was mute. Verse 23 says, and when his time of service was ended, he didn't get to go home that day, by the way. He finished his time of service, even though this drastic change of voice had taken place. When his time of service ended, he went to his home. Picture for me a man coming home and telling his wife, without the use of a voice, that she's going to get pregnant as an old woman. Don't you think that was an awkward moment in the Zechariah household? He's trying to tell Elizabeth, he's come home to tell her that she is going to get pregnant. I can't see him just sitting back and waiting. You know, if it was a dream, he wouldn't have lost his voice. If it was a vision, he wouldn't have lost his voice. He knows what took place, and he knows it was real. And so I can't imagine that he's going to sit back and just wait for her to get the pregnancy test down at Walmart and find out that she's pregnant. So he's trying to tell her. Verse 24 says, after these days, after what days? After he came home, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And for 5 months, she kept herself hidden. Isn't that interesting? For 5 months, she kept herself hidden. The thing that she had wanted as a Jewish woman more than anything else was to be pregnant, to have a child. A Jewish woman without a child, and again, we talked about this last week, is an outcast of sorts. Why didn't she go out and start announcing it to everybody? Why did she keep hidden for 5 months? And this is important, folks. It's something that when I was listening to different sermons on this, and even the commentaries I looked at, a lot of them just flat missed it. Or if they didn't miss it, they didn't say it. She kept hidden because she knew that the world would not believe her. If an old woman came to you and told you she was pregnant and going to have a child, what would you think? You would say, let's get the loony bin. She's crazy. She has to be crazy because old women do not have children. What happens by the time a woman is 5 months pregnant? She's changing a little, isn't she? And it's showing here. She waited until she was showing to let it be known. because the people would not have believed her. By this point, not only did Zechariah know what had taken place, she knew what had taken place. There was no doubt in either of their minds. I want to go back again to them being called blameless and righteous. When we are gods, not when we are a god, when we belong to God. I say when we are gods, G-O-D apostrophe S. When we are gods, not only is anything possible, but even in our sin, we do not lose our righteousness. Why, you ask me? I'm glad you asked. Because our righteousness is not from us. It is from Jesus Christ. It is the righteousness of Christ that is upon us. So even though there was disbelief, it did not change their standing before God. And now she's pregnant. She's hiding herself until she's showing. And not just showing a little bit. Because what they'd say is, oh, well, you just need to go on a diet. Until she was showing at 5 months to make the announcement. She hid herself. And she says, as she is hiding herself, thus, the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. They looked down on her because she was barren and childless. And if she would have announced it too soon, the people would have laughed at her. Now the last laugh would have been on them, but she waited and then she allowed it to be known. Or should I say God allowed it to be known. Something else I want to point out. I didn't gloss over it to skip it. But the angel told Zechariah that John would be filled with the Holy Spirit even in his mother's womb. Does that fit in somewhere into the story to come? It does, doesn't it? God's word is knit together and it all goes together. Brothers and sisters, I'm asking you to set aside what you think it takes for something to happen and trust God for those things that are His will. There are things that you have been praying for and you have not seen the answer yet. Some of those things that you prayed and prayed and prayed for, you've quit praying for them. But other things you're still praying for, even though you haven't seen the answer. I read a story about a woman who prayed for her son. She lived to be 92 years old and prayed for him every single day to be saved of God. She died at 92. Bitter towards God, the son came to her funeral. And when he broke down at the funeral, it wasn't the loss of his mother. It was the movement of God on his heart. He was regenerated right there. And her prayer, though she never saw on this side the answer, was still answered. Don't stop praying. Don't stop trusting. If we pray according to God's will, what can we count on? It will happen. It will happen. Because His will always happen. So keep praying. Trust Him. Because He is trustworthy. Please stand with me. Father God, this world is so quick to point out those things that we pray for, that we desire, that seem to be good or according to your will, that haven't happened. Oh, they're quick to point it out because they want us to dismiss you. But Father God, we know with you all things are possible. We know that whether it's the salvation of somebody or whether it is a woman past the age of childbearing, having a child, those things are all in your hands, Lord. And the needs of those who are here are in your hands as well. Oh, Father, may we glorify you, bringing our petitions before you according to your will. May you use us, Lord, that people would see not someone who has given up on God's ability, but someone who will trust God no matter what the world says, all for your glory. In Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.
What a challenge for us all, and what a needed reminder. Trusting God to do what He has promised even when it seems impossible, even when it seems as if the answer will never come, can never come, is not a new command. It's an old one that God has issued to His people since time began. God calls us to trust Him, not ourselves, and to believe that in the fullness of time He will do all that He has promised. And beloved, He will do just that. All we must do is wait and trust. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we would love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We have a thank you gift we'd like to send you if you mention it when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.
Hello, friends. This is Jared, filling in for Pastor Jim with today's final word. I'm here today to talk about the 2022 Kansas Abolish Abortion Conference and Rally. On March 14th, there will be a conference at Community Church in Topeka, Kansas, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. to help equip local churches to fight abortion biblically. We have speakers coming from all over the country who have been in the hard fight to abolish abortion. These speakers will help us understand important topics like the difference between pro-lifeism and abolitionism, the five tenets of abolition, a biblical approach to in vitro fertilization, how to speak to the legislators about abortion abolition, how to minister at the abortion clinics, as well as an in-depth presentation to the Kansas abortion ban. Following the conference on March 15th, we will have a rally at the Capitol building on the south steps at 9 a.m. in support of the Kansas abortion ban. This bill, if passed, would provide equal protection for all human beings in the state of Kansas, starting at the point of fertilization. We believe that it is our responsibility to advocate for nothing short of the total and immediate abolition of abortion. We know that God is sovereign over everything, which is why we are supporting a bill that doesn't compromise on when life begins or that tries to only do what is pragmatic in the eyes of men. God tells us in Proverbs 20:23 that unequal weights are an abomination to the Lord and false scales are not good. It's not up for us to decide what level of justice should be sought after for our preborn neighbors who are being slaughtered. Scripture says plainly in Proverbs 24:11, to rescue those who are being taken away to death, hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. Which is why we go to the abortion clinics preaching the gospel and pleading with parents to spare their own children's lives. But we also need to understand that the laws written to murder babies happen inside our state capitol buildings, and the church needs to take a stand for unapologetic biblical justice. For almost 50 years, the church has been far too silent on the issue of abortion. Our preborn neighbors need us to speak up for them. On average, over 20 babies are murdered in the state of Kansas alone every day. We need the church to rise up and be faithful. Our goal is to get at least 1,000 people on the south steps of the Capitol building on March 15th at 9 a.m., so please come and join us. Please go online to www.aimks.org. That's www.aimks.org. For more information about the 2022 Kansas Abolish Abortion Conference and Rally, and what you can do to help support our efforts to love our preborn neighbors as ourselves by abolishing abortion in Kansas. Until next week, Soli Deo Gloria, God bless.